Welcome to the Believe Podcast, a conversation between friends over a passage of scripture. I'm Carolyn Kirsten.
And I'm Marvin Williams.
And today we're moving on to John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. If you haven't had a chance to read that, pause the podcast, read that over, and then join us again for this discussion.
It is a super, super exciting story. An impossible story.
It is.
Yeah, pretty incredible. So, have a question for you.
Okay.
To lead us in. So, what is your typical reaction to situations that seem impossible or no readily available solution?
I prefer to avoid those. And my initial reaction is just hoping it goes away.
Okay. All right. I think for me, and this is, you know, this is just like human beings, right? Even though we know we cannot solve the issue, we're going to try to solve the issue. And anything that I can do humanly possible, even to the point of, you know, close to killing myself, I want to try to fix the problem. And that doesn't always, it never works, I should say. And I tire myself out, and it feels like God is the last resort as opposed to the first choice in situations like that for me. And so, and the reason we say that, because we have a situation today in this section of scripture that we're looking at.
Yes.
That is a humanly impossible situation, and we see a number of different reactions as to how this works out and how Jesus responds to that. So what do we have here?
Yeah, so let's set the scene a little bit. We have finished that conversation that we were on for several weeks. Now, Jesus, we're back to more of a narrative section of this scripture. So Jesus crosses the Sea of Galilee. A huge crowd comes because they've heard about these signs that he's doing. He goes up on a mountain, sits with his disciples, and this huge crowd is just there. And it is a huge crowd.
How huge?
So 5,000, but we can know that that probably was just the men that were there, not counting women and children. So it could have been, I mean, what?
Close to 10,000
people. 10,000 people. Yeah. So 10,000 people, they have been there, and they are hungry. How many people have you ever hosted at your house, Marvin? Well, you've had a couple graduation open houses, those in a wedding reception. Okay.
Yep.
So 10,000 people, how would you feel about that?
Yeah, that's a humanly impossible situation.
Yes,
and
it is.
And yet I probably would find myself trying to feed all of those individuals. But this is a incredible story. So we're talking about 10,000 people. And they're hungry.
Yep.
What does Jesus do?
Okay, so I like this, that he turns to his disciples and asks them to problem solve a little bit. He asks Philip, so where are we going to buy bread so these people can eat? And the scripture even tells us he asked this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. So
that kind of feels like, when I was reading this passage, kind of feels like Philip is looking at Jesus. Jesus is looking at the crowd. Jesus is looking at Philip. Philip is looking at Jesus, and he says, you know, in his heart, like, you know, that student, you've had students like, please don't call on me. Please don't call on me. Please don't call on me. And then the teacher looks and says, Carolyn, Marvin, hey, how, you know, what's the answer to this? And it's like, and you know, you've not studied for the test. And Philip kind of feels like that, where he's placed in this situation. Why do you think Jesus, like he has 12 of them, why do you think he called on Philip?
Well, Philip was from that area. So he might have known where the closest fast food restaurants were, or the buffet restaurant that might open up for the crowd. No. But he was familiar with the area. And we do see Philip go super practical, too, because he's like, well, 200 denarii of bread wouldn't even be enough. And then the footnote in my Bible says that a denarius is one day's wage. So we're talking 200 days' wages.
Yeah.
is not even enough to feed all these people.
Yeah. So he is looking and again, you know, we're not faulting Philip on this. Like, he's looking at the situation,
yes,
and saying there is no way humanly possible we can feed all of these people. It's an impossible situation. But he does try a little bit. He's kind of doing the math, and the math doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, again, the text says, I love this. Jesus asked the question to test his faith.
Mm-hmm.
So there are times where I think God places us in impossible situations to refine our faith,
yeah,
and for us to trust him with the seemingly impossible. And again, I, as you mentioned earlier, I like to avoid those situations. I don't like those situations. And yet, to get more out of us, to sharpen our faith, Jesus allows, sometimes he puts us in situations.
Yeah.
Sometimes he allows situations that are humanly impossible so that there's no other choice other than full dependence on him.
Yep.
What else did you see in this text?
Okay. So Philip's reaction there, he like sees the obstacle only, like 200 days wages is not even going to be enough. So then Andrew, I like this, he steps in and says, well, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish.
Teacher's pet.
Well, maybe. Nothing wrong with that. I think it's... So what Andrew does, he offers what he has, what he's found.
Yeah.
You know, like, Philip was like, this is an impossible problem. Andrew also probably recognizes this is a big problem, but he offers what he has.
Yep.
And I think that is significant for us. Like, instead of just seeing the problem, and like I said, just wanting to avoid it completely.
Yeah.
Andrew says, here's what I have.
Yeah.
And I think that can be true for us. Whatever that impossible situation, that impossible relationship that seems broken beyond repair, whatever it might be, that we say, Lord, here's what I have. It's yours. Yeah. Use it for whatever it can do.
Yeah. And your point, I think John does this intentionally. He contrasts the two. You have Philip who says this is impossible. Andrew who goes out and says, you know, I don't know what this can do, but we did find a boy. We actually are participating in... Mm-hmm. Trying to find solutions to the problem, and he, again, as you mentioned, he finds the little boy, and I love the little boy. The little boy gave up his lunch.
He was the one guy who was prepared.
Yeah, he gave up his lunch and said, okay, I don't have much, but I'm willing to submit it.
Yeah.
In the hands of the master. And so one of the things that I think sometimes we forget is that the little that we have in the hands of the one who can multiply it can actually feed a multitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes we underestimate the little that we have.
Yeah.
But if we give it with humility, if we give it with a sense of faith, watch what Jesus take, whether it is your little knowledge or whether it is your few networks, whatever it may be, the little that we have, like this little boy, he gladly gave it. I don't know if he gladly gave it. I don't know if he's like, oh, like, what am I going to have? But the text doesn't say that. He gave it up and Jesus took it and did something pretty special with it.
Yeah. I think that's interesting to say he gave it for as it was.
Yeah.
Like, we might have a tendency when you gave the examples of knowledge or networks or whatever, we might feel like, well, I got to have more of whatever it is before God could use it.
Yeah.
And that's not the case. Here we have 5 loaves, 2 fish that fed God used to feed 10,000 people. The math in no way adds up.
Yeah. It's a miracle.
Yes.
It truly is a miracle.
And we can experience that same thing when we give what we have. I think it's even our own pride that feels like, well, I've got to do more or I've got to have it more together. Even makes me think back to when we talked about Sabbath a few episodes ago that, well, if I need to work these 7 days a week to get it all done, so there's no way. Even that is a way of honoring God's provision. And when we just say, here's what I have. It's yours. We open up the opportunity for God to do amazing things.
Yeah. Yeah. I think being able to admit our inability, that's hard. That's hard for us. It's hard for us as Americans. It's hard for us as Western Christians, because we have all that it takes. And we have the lights, and we have the stage, and we have the sound, and we have all of these things. And I think there are days where Jesus is calling us back to admit our inability so that it could set the stage for the manifestation of power. And I think if COVID did nothing else, it reminded us that we are flawed human beings, and we don't have it all together. Mm-hmm. We need something more than having all the technology and those kinds of things. There's nothing wrong with that, but I think sometimes Jesus calls us back to kind of a 10,000 and two fish and five loaves mentality. And if it's going to happen, it's going to be because Jesus makes it happen. Another thing that stands out to me is the text says they all ate as much as they wanted,
mm-hmm.
which is, again, this is still incredible to me. You have 10,000 people, two fish and five loaves. Jesus multiplies the loaves and the fish, and they not only eat some, they kept eating to the place where they were full. And so this God is a God of abundance. He's not a God of scarcity. And I just love the fact that we can call on him, and he not only supplies what we need, but he even supplies a little bit more, some of the wants we have as well.
Yeah, it is. It makes me think of, I don't know if this happens at your house, but if, you know, there's a plate of cookies or even the pizza for dinner, figure out the math, exactly how much does everybody get, you know, because you're for sure it's got to keep even, and be sure that everybody has enough. Like and that is such a scarcity mindset. Like,
yeah.
It's a limited amount. We've got to be sure that, everybody gets their fair amount, or, you know, we label food in the refrigerator. Do not touch. This is so-and-so. It's like that scarcity mindset. But here, they get to have as much as they wanted. I mean, that's just the best. Like,
yeah.
And that is who our God is.
Yeah. And then there were leftovers.
Yeah.
There were leftovers. Yes. The text says that there were leftovers, and they picked up baskets full of food left. Again, this story, man, it's screaming to increase our faith mm-hmm. in the God of abundance, and the God who not only gives us food to eat, but he's a God of leftovers as well. Yeah. And these are not just mediocre leftovers. These are really, really good leftovers as well. So I love the fact that John points that out, because it does continue to show God's abundance and not this sense a God of scarcity.
Yeah, because our tendency for sure is to do that comparison thing and that questioning, like, do I have enough? You know, whether that's money, followers on social media, power, control, or maybe even more a deeper question, like, am I enough?
Sure.
Like, we question that, like, am I talented enough? Do I have what it takes? Body image can play into that. Like, we can so easily fall into that scarcity mindset of, do I have enough? Am I enough? And this passage shows us that, yes, five loaves and two fish.
Yeah, yeah.
That was no big deal for God to feed 10,000 people. He takes what we have. He takes who we are, and he can use that. It's not a leveling up. It's not even a comparison thing. He will use us, and he works through us just as we are.
Man, I absolutely love that. One of the things, as you're listening, we would encourage you to write down some of your impossible situations. Hmm. Write down some of your a crowd of 10,000 situations and two fish and five loaves to feed them, whatever that might be. Maybe it's a job, or maybe it's you're getting ready to take an exam and you've not had you've not dedicated all the time to study. Or I don't know. I'm just, whatever your seemingly impossible situation might be, write it down. Remember, this is another sign, mm-hmm. and signs are designed to point us to Jesus, designed so that we might have life in his name. And so Jesus actually wants to work a miracle in your life. And he wants to work a miracle in your life, not so you can hoard the fish and the loaves, but so that you can actually believe and go deeper in your faith with him. So I would, again, from both Carolyn and I, just write those situations down, begin praying over them, and place them, literally, I mean, as symbolically place them in the hands of Jesus and watch him multiply the fish and the loaves.
Yeah, that's powerful. And I love even writing it down, then you have that record.
Absolutely.
To go back to, and then the next time, when that another impossible situation comes up, you have that record of how God met you there.
Yeah.
You mentioned that this is the fourth sign. So I think let's take a couple of minutes and think back on each of them. So Jesus turns water into wine.
Yep.
Healing of the official son. Healing of the man who was lame by the pool. And now feeding 5,000 with five loaves and two fish. It's interesting to me. So we're four out of seven, right? There's going to be seven.
Four out of seven.
How different they are from what we mentioned at, with the water into wine. Just a fun, like, this was not a, I mean, it was a crisis situation for that couple.
Yep.
But water into wine, that was just bonus.
Another quiet miracle.
Yep. And God does stuff like that.
Yep.
The second sign where this man comes on behalf of his son and healing takes place. We can see that today too, where we come to God on behalf of someone else. The third example, God heals that very person who wasn't even looking for it. Well, and had to remind him, this is possible. Your life can be different.
And Jesus came to him, saw him.
Yes.
Yep.
And then this one, I love that. I mean, we've focused on the magnitude of it, but it also is a very ordinary, well, literally gut need, like hunger, satisfying.
Practical need. Yep.
Physical hunger. Yep. And God's there for that too.
Yeah. I love the fact that Jesus does these miracles, and they are miracles that obviously point to Jesus, but again, very normal, practical miracles. When someone is sick, you need healing. Jesus does that. But he also takes time to actually teach a little bit on mm-hmm. the backside of some of these miracles as well. Some of the teaching is very, very minor, but it's still, these miracles give opportunity for us to go deeper in our discipleship. And that's really what this is about. This is about believing in Jesus so that we might go a little bit deeper. Everyone is on a continuum, right?
Yep.
And so no matter where you are, you and I can always go deeper. And John says Jesus uses these little signs, whether it's healing a little boy or healing a man that was marginalized or feeding a group of people. These miracles are absolutely designed to take us a little bit deeper in our relationship with Jesus. And we hope as you read about these signs and these miracles, you'll take another step toward Jesus and loving him a little bit more.
Yeah. So as we wrap up, what can we believe about God, ourselves or others, from this fourth sign, this feeding of the 5,000?
Yeah, Jesus, for me, I think Jesus shows that he cares about practical needs.
Yeah.
You don't have to have something huge and big. He cares about practical needs like jobs and food. He cares about those kinds of things, and we can trust that that he does.
Yeah. I too love that he's a God of abundance.
Yeah.
They had as much as they wanted, and there were leftovers. That just makes me smile. That's who God is.
Yeah.
And then for myself and others, just that reminder to offer what I have.
Yeah.
I want to be like Andrew and just say, here's what I have, instead of being like Philip, and bless him, I'm not throwing shade on him, but he, you know, because that's probably more my tendency. Well, I was to see the problem and be like, whoa, this is
it. You sound like a grandmother. Oh, bless him. Bless him. Bless the little kid.
Well, I don't want to throw him under the bus because that's probably me. Like, whoa, you know, being frozen by the problem.
Yeah.
But I want to be like Andrew, who says, hey, what can you do with this, Lord?
Yeah.
You know, and that little boy who gave up and then saw what God could do.
Yeah, for me, and again, is that many days when God wants to work a miracle, like with Philip and Andrew, he expects us sometimes to participate in the miracle. And there are days where I think I want him to do it all, and I have no responsibility. But this helps me to recognize that I, too, have a responsibility in participating in the miracle that God wants to perform.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening today. We encourage you to share the podcast with someone, listen, have your own spiritual conversation, rate and review, subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. We'll see you next time.